Halloween was yesterday, but I still have a ghost story. It was on a dark and stormy night, more like a drizzly morning, a soft day, right, Deacon Larry? In Armagh, in the north of Ireland. And there was a priest saying mass at the altar in the monastery that he was at. All the other monks out here, all the lay people turned back. Suddenly there was a loud bang at the outside door. So one of the monks went and opened the door, and there was a figure standing on the front steps, shroud up over the head, looking down, and the monk beckoned the person in, but they wouldn't come. He beckoned her a second time, no, a third, and the figure rolled back her hood, and it was the priest, Father Malachy's sister, who'd been dead for a week. Poor monk was understandably a little concerned. So he runs back on the aisle, and he tugs at the hem of Father Malachy's vestments, and he says, "Your sister's at the door." So he ignores it, as we all might. Well, the next day, it happened again. And the third day, it happened again, and when the brother came up and tugged on the priest's vestment, he sighed and left his duties at the altar and walked back down the aisle to the front door of the church, and he said, "What are you doing here? You're dead." She said, "I'm here because of you, and you're the only one that can help me." Now, what happened was, Father Malachy, like a lot of families, one kid turns out real well, and the other kid had some trouble. Don't tell my sister I said it. Father Malachy's sister had some bad habits, especially with guys, and she wound up getting knifed to death in a guy's bed who was not the guy that she was married to. So, because she died in the act of mortal sin, she was buried outside of church. And now she was standing here on the doorstep of the church because her brother, who had every opportunity to correct her in life, to try and bring her to a more faithful living of the gospel that she promised herself to, he didn't. And he didn't mostly because he was afraid. He was afraid of turning her off. He was afraid of making her feel bad. He was afraid of alienating her. And so now the dead woman stands on the step of the church and scolds the priest for not having done his job. Again, please don't give my sister any ideas. He's puzzled. He genuinely doesn't know what to do. So he walks back to the aisle and resumes his duties at Mass. And he gets to the memento for the dead. part of the Eucharistic prayer where we remember our dead. And he realizes the one thing he can do. So he says, your name. The next day, the knock comes at the door of the church. But this time, when she appears, she's just inside the door. The next day, a step further. He keeps doing it, right? And every day he does it, she comes a step further up in the church. Until on the 30th day, she kneels at the rail at the altar for Holy Communion. And we have this account from St. Malachy's own hand. And he says, I did not know if I was allowed to give communion to a ghost. So I elevated the sacrament in front of her, and the moment she caught sight of it, her clothes, which had been gray and dark and mud-stained, turned dazzling white. And she ascended in the sight of all the faithful and all the monks that were present there and disappeared. You might say, it's a lovely, pious story, Father. You might say, well, at least you got a ghost story. But at least Father Malachy, now St. Malachy, when he wrote it down, he clearly believed that this happened. And the other monks who signed their names to it believed that it did too. And what's more important than the way the events of a monastery in the 10th century went down is this. That relationship between the living, Father Malachy, and his dead sister, is precisely what we celebrate during these days. It's what we remember last night with All Hallows Eve, with Halloween. It's what we commemorate today with the Feast of All Saints, and it's what we commemorate tomorrow with the Feast of All Souls. Now you might say, well, Father, well, okay, I get it, it's an All Souls time. You should have just saved it for tomorrow, because he offered an Mass for her and she went to heaven. Yeah, fair enough. Except, look at what she did for him. Look at what she did for him. A dead Christian, not only concerned for her own suffering, but worried about the salvation of her brother, who had sinned by failing to correct her the way that he was supposed to. She comes back not only for her own sake, but for her brother's, so that her brother won't have to suffer in the same way that she has. And it's precisely that act of charity that gets him to do what he should have done at the beginning and bring them both to heaven together. Her robes went from gray to white, just like those in the first reading from the book of Revelation. It's the reason every one of us at our baptism was given a white garment. And we, or our parents and godparents, were instructed to keep it unstained so that we could bring it clean to the gates of heaven. And those dressed in white in the book of Revelation aren't only those who never sinned, but they're the ones who figured out how to get their gray clothes white again. They're not only those who kept their light burning brightly, but who, having got it burned out, learned how to get it lit again. That happens here in the confessional. That happens in the day-to-day interactions that we have around our kitchen tables, on the TV, and at work, and at school. It happens when we make ourselves people of the Beatitudes. When we allow God to make us poor in spirit, pure of heart, merciful, peacemaking, lovable, long-suffering, patient, joyful. So the ones we celebrate today are all the saints of God. The broken ones who round up on the front steps of the church, and the beautiful ones whose faces we put in the stained glass windows. We celebrate them all with the hope that relying on God's grace and their prayers, which they offer for us still because they still care about us, we too can join that number. However sullied we've gotten, our clothes can be white again. And together, each of us can stand before God's altar, lights lit in hand. ready to